chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
European dreams look to be over as the Bairns missed the chance to leapfrog Hibs into fifth place at the weekend, going down 3-1 to the Highbees at the Bairnabow. We are here to discuss that match and much more. I'm John McInally, this is Falkirk Daft, and this is the Grinder Goro Pod, Ross Wayne.
Hi, pal. Yeah, sadly, it does feel and look like it's done.
Season is done. Draw a line under it, and let's not be sad, because you're still feeling a bit of pain from yesterday, but ultimately, we're still in the Premiership. I started off this season saying 10th, delighted with 10th, be happy with 10th, and you can't not be happy. I mean, top six finish for the Bairns is absolutely incredible.
Amazing.
You know, and we've got the chance to, you know, have a say in the title race on Wednesday. You know, it's effectively, we're due one against Rangers. We're due a win against Rangers. And I think, you know, on Saturday, that's the goal. Go and beat them. Go and piss them off after all the shite you've taken from their fans over the last wee while. It's time to go out and put down a marker on Saturday. So still, you know, that's all still to play for. But what a season for the Bairns. It just wasn't to be. We'll talk about the full match just in a minute, Ross. But yeah, it was just a day on kind of reflecting on it. You know, looking back, it was a really strange game of football.
It was. As you said, John, we've had an amazing season. We will finish with our record Premiership points total, which could be even better by the end of next week. We looked a little bit as if we'd ran out of ideas, as if we'd ran out of steam yesterday. The Motherwell game has obviously taken a lot out of us. We've had a couple of injuries yesterday as well, which is not going to help the last couple of games. But what a season. You said for try to finish 10th and see how we go. I was of the same page. Listen, I just wanted to stay up. I was optimistic that I thought we might be good enough to be in the sort of best of the top six, and sorry, best of the bottom six, and we've went one better and we've finished in the top six. So absolutely amazing.
Yeah, no, it was. Yesterday we were obviously, I was in the 1876 lounge, we were in the 1876 lounge yesterday. It was great, actually, a man that had not been back at the club in some years. Neil Oliver was in the lounge yesterday, great to see him. Still looking great as well, Ollie. And it was good to have him at the stadium yesterday. But unfortunately, couldn't get the result that we wanted. But
it's always good to see these guys back, especially because Ollie hasn't been back at the football club for a long time.
Yeah, over 200 appearances. I have to, if you're watching the video version, we'll show this up. So this is his top from, I think it's 1994 season?
94-95.
So luckily, I was in the last position, match worn. I was able to get it signed by the man himself. So delighted with that. That's one that will be getting framed, I think.
Good stuff.
So it was great to see Neil Oliver yesterday. And if you know, I think there's maybe still tickets for the 76 lounge. I think there's quite a few Rangers hospitality tickets being handed back, hospitality tickets being handed back over the last couple of weeks. So there might be spaces in the 1876 lounge on Saturday if you fancy coming along on Saturday for the last game of the season. It'd be great to see you in there. Our last one of the season as well. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Couple of bits and bobs. Shout out to Douglas Morrison. He is the manager of the Scotia right now. Over the last couple of weeks, you know, our sponsors are obviously Behind the Wall, But we've had wee sly digs at the Scotia for starting a Falkirk.
Not in a nasty way.
Not in a nasty way. Just wee digs. And it all been very much tongue-in-cheek. And Douglas, who runs the Scotia, got in touch with us and was very apologetic about it. And I was like, don't worry about it, mate. We're only having a laugh with you. But he's actually changed the name of the Falkirk Venom to the Sapphire Venom. And £1 for everyone sold at the Scotia is going to go to Strathcairn Hospice. So really, really nice gesture by Douglas there as well.
That's because they're running their Strathcairn celebrating their Sapphire anniversary, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which is a lovely touch.
Really nice that some nice has covered that, and we were only having a wee bit of a dig. But they raised £760 for Leon's charity Be Heard as well, and Barney, Leon and Hendo were along at the Scotia on Saturday to pick up the cheque for that, which was really, really good. So well done, Dougie and the team at the Scotia for doing that. I'm going to go after the Rangers game and have a few scoops on Saturday, so I'll need to pop by the Scotia and see everybody. I'll have to try the Sapphire Venom.
You need to report back and see what they taste like. However, even if it is bitter, you can't say it's bitter.
No, of course not. Of course not. Falkirk Daft Venom is the best cocktail in Falkirk. Let's go to that. And you can only get it at Behind the Wall, our sponsors. We'll talk about them in just a bit. Cricket, let's talk cricket. I know you don't like cricket. I love it. Cricket is happening. It's the Falkirk. I've never played cricket in my life, but I'm going to play for the first time on the 29th of May as a Falkirk Daft select will take on a Stenismuir, the Stenismuir social team, a game of cricket, 20 overs, 2020. It's going to be happening at Stenismuir Cricket Club if you're about 6 o'clock on the 29th of May. We're currently forming a team. If you can play cricket, it allows me to be the manager of the team. I'd be delighted with that. We've currently got 11 players. So shout out to everyone that's joined our team. Josh Heggie and Drew Barton from Falkirk TV are on board. Big Grant Thompson, didn't know. Cricketer, obviously we know Grant. He's been at Falkirk Daft Live. Charlie from Still Game, if you don't know him. Grant is a cricketer. He's going to get involved. Big Dougie Manson. Dougie Blakeway, he's involved with it as well. Scott McDonald can't play, but he's got three ringers for me, or three boys at Falkirk supporters. And Barry Sutherland as well is another one of our cricket team. But if we can get a couple more, if you're a cricketer, Tyler as well, he got in touch as well. We've got a few cricketers there, but if you are a cricketer and fancy a game, join the Falkirk Daft team, 29th of May. Get involved, please do. Slide into our DMs and we'll get you on the team.
So as someone who doesn't know a lot about cricket, how many players do you need? Because I'm stumped.
Oh my God.
No, in all seriousness though, how many players do you need?
We need 11 players for cricket.
Okay, and no subs or anything like that? You don't need subs?
No, you don't have subs in cricket. You right. Play how many balls are in an over, Ross? Do you know that at least?
12.
No, 6. So
you get 6 points for going over the boundary.
120, and everyone's got to bowl an over apparently as well. So everyone's got to bowl an over if you join the cricket.
What, over arm?
Over is what you call, like, so this cricket's made up of overs.
Right.
There's 6 balls in an over, and then. God, honestly. If you want to join the Falkirk Daft cricket team, it might save me, because I'm quite happy going in and having a go in the bats, but I don't think I could pull to save myself. I really don't. Get involved, slide into DMs if you're a cricket player and fancy joining the Falkirk Daft team. And then for everyone that's asked, we obviously usually have our Falkirk Daft charity match against the Football Fans and Training Team. That's going to happen probably in August. For various reasons. That's going to be happening in August, we think, now. So fingers crossed that comes to fruition in just a bit, and we'll be looking for players for that as well. Also, before we get on, talk a wee bit more about the club news, let's say thank you very much to Carpetways, our sponsors, right up to the end of the season of every episode on Falkirk Daft. They are currently running a deal, £719 for a full house deal, and you'll get that at carpetways.com/Falkirk, or you can go into store, that's on Burnbank Road, just off Graham's Road in Bainsford. And they've got the same building as Lazy Day Sofas, so you can get carpets and sofas sorted out there. They've also got artificial grass if you're thinking about doing the garden up this summer. You can start off at 20mm thick, up to 40mm thick. Again, it's going to save you any mowing, you know, that pain in the arse where you have to lag out the lawnmower and every Sunday mow the grass, and you're not going to trail mud around the house. The pets are not going to trail mud around the house because you're going to have artificial turf, which is great. And shout out, I think, to Dougie, who sent us a picture in last week of him hoovering his lawn, which was artificial turf, after my question. There you go. So that's what you do when you've got artificial turf.
Was that real? I thought he was just joking and took the Hoover out.
No, I think I was genuine.
Was that a real thing?
That's a real thing. So there you go.
All right, okay.
You can get prices starting off at $9.99 per square meter. And if you are looking for carpets, head to carpetways.com/Falkirk. Like say, that whole deal house for $7.99, and they'll give you they'll send you around a free home measure by an estimator, so you get the best price and no wastage as well. So there you go, carpetways.com/Falkirk. It's where you want to go, or head in to Burnbank Road. There, right. Before we talk club news, let's talk, go quick dive into birthday corner. I say happy birthday to Ashley Maitland, photographer extraordinaire. You'll see her pics all over the place. She was in the 1876 lounge yesterday with a rather stylish happy birthday tiara on, which is very nice. And that's from her mum, dad, Millie, and her friends and family. So there you go. She's 21 with 5 years seniority, so I'm guessing Ashley's 26, but you shouldn't really reveal
that. Makes sense.
And I've just done that. Sorry, Ashley. So happy 26, Ashley. Enjoy your birthday. A couple of players' birthdays this week. On the 11th, Kasper Schmeichel turns 40. There you go.
Yeah, we remember him making his debut for us probably as a teenager, which is quite
Yeah.
worrying.
Wild, isn't it?
So yeah,
That
that's
makes you
wild.
feel old, doesn't it? So I Casper, and that looks like his career's done now as well. Certainly after his injury at Celtic, and he's out of contract. So yeah, Andy Irvine, another one we had on loan from Hearts, who randomly is now, I think he moved away from West Ham. I'm not too sure where he is now, but like he's a Scotland international now, and I didn't think he was much
Did he go over to Germany or something like
It was
that? Did
Austria, I think. It was
was
Austria. And
Austria,
then
right?
randomly ended up at West Ham and then got into the Scotland squad. And like when he was at us, he didn't really stand out that much. But there you go.
No, but everyone was poor when he
Well,
was over at
that's true.
Anfield, wasn't
That
he?
is very, very true. A couple of current squads' birthdays this week as well. On the 15th, Lewis Nielsen turns 23. There you go. So that's Friday, isn't it? And then Brad Spencer celebrates his 30th on the 16th. The day of the game against Rangers. There we go. So a wee birthday present would be a night a goal from Brad. That would be rather nice. So that's Brad's 30th. This we should all do ha sing happy birthday in the stadium for him.
That would be in the 30th minute. There we
And
go. That's
there we
exactly.
go. The 30th minute. Let's get a chorus of happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to Brad. And the 30th minute, people just went, "What the hell is going on?
Did
Happy birthday to you."
Gate 20 have another banner? Because I noticed they had a banner up yesterday for a Belgian team
I didn't
who.
know what was that all about. Some from Gate
I
20.
think there's a friendship between the Gate 20 and a Belgian side group of fans. So,
Very random.
yeah. But yeah, maybe they could have a happy birthday, Brad,
So there you go,
banner.
Gate 20 in the 30th minute against Rangers. This is your challenge. Start singing Happy Birthday to Brad, and just like everyone will just be like, what's going on? So there you go. 30th minute, we want the Happy Birthday sung to Brad Spencer. Me and you'll start at Ross in the main
There we
stand, and then
go.
Gate 20 can follow us in the south stand. So we'll get ready for 30th minute. Happy Birthday to Brad. There we go.
Make it happen.
I'd love it if that happened. That'd be hilarious. Brilliant. So that's all your birthdays for this week. Club news, season tickets out this week. Ross, what have you made of the pricing? There's been a bit of a leap, but we kind of expected that anyway.
Yeah, no, we did. We thought there would be an increase because the last 3 years, we had 2 years of static prices in League One, and then we had a little bit of a bump in the Championship season. Sorry, no, we had a static season in League One and the Championship, beg your pardon, and then we had a little increase last year. And then this year we are probably a bit more towards the Premiership average. However, from doing a little bit of digging about, we are still the cheapest, not by like hundreds of pounds, but the teams that are round about us, like Dundee, Motherwell, St Mirren, Dundee United, they're all very similar. I think there's maybe 25, 30 quid of a difference, but we are still the cheapest as far as I can see so far. And beg your pardon, that also includes St Johnstone, who have announced theirs already,
Yeah.
and they are more expensive.
And the fact the fans are not happy as well because they're giving three stands to the Rangers and Celtic
Well,
supporters being booted
exactly.
out.
Like, what are their owners thinking? Because surely, they've now, I think they've now said that if they sell more than 2,700 season tickets, they may go back on that decision. But it's still a really poor call by the owners at St Johnstone.
Yeah, no, that's it. But you know what? I think you're going to pay your Falkirk season ticket. That's the thing. And you're 21 a game, quid a game. I speak to my mate who was a Celtic. That's an early bird price. He's certainly in the main stand. It's 20, works out it's 21 quid a game. But speaking to my mate who's got a Celtic part season ticket, he's like 38 quid a game or something ridiculous like that.
The average will be. Looking at the price per game, and granted these are the early bird, but most people will probably buy at the early bird, right? Why wouldn't you? So you've got the most expensive ticket there is a £25 in the main stand, which is prime. These are all adult prices. 21 for the rest of the main stand, as you said, 20 in the Kevin McAllister, and 20 in the north stand as well. That is tremendous value. Now, let's face it, the walk-up price, I assume, will be going up a little bit as well because, well, it has to. If the season ticket cost has gone up, I'd be shocked if the match day ticket might go up a little bit as well. I don't know what to, but even if it was an extra quid or two, you would expect. Again, though, we'll still be one of the cheapest, if not the cheapest, in the league. As I say, St Johnstone, who are just right back up, I see their adult price, I think, is 28 or 29 for a game against Falkirk, and 35 when they are playing Rangers, Celtic, or Hearts.
Mental, 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 mental. But yeah, the Johnson supporters aren't happy about that, and rightly so as well. So yeah, and then there's the obviously the bit about the pitch one. Now I didn't like I thought it was I couldn't see it when I went to renew my season ticket this week. I couldn't see the pitch fund option on
So
it.
so there's been a bit of a cock up, I believe. So what was meant to happen was that when you got your email in from the club, you click the link to renew, and on the renewal link, there should have been an option for the pitch fund, whether it was already added and you had to remove, or a pop-up to say add pitch fund, but none of that happened. So the only way, if you have already renewed, to contribute to the pitch fund as if you actually go onto the ticket site and do a one-off transaction. So it's not ideal because I think this happened last year
That's not great. I mean, if
with
you're
the
wanting
manager's
to,
fund. That didn't happen then either.
it's not ideal, not great that because, like you say, you just skip past it, you know, and then you've
You
got to
would.
go back in and redo it. Because I was wanting to put in a couple of quid, you know, an extra 10 or 15 quid or whatever for the pitch fund. It just didn't come up, and I was like, oh, all right, okay, I'll just click through and get my season ticket done. But yeah, not great, not great that. But hopefully, you know, well, yeah, who knows what happens in the summer? We might sell, get multi-million pound offers. And we might be able to get the pitch sorted that way. But obviously, you want to see it going to the playing squad as well. So
We
we'll
do,
see what happens with that come the time. Aye, and that there's not much other club news going about this week
Very
either.
quiet the last few
Pretty
days of
quiet, yeah.
it gets getting to that time of the season. I take it the
Aye.
next bit of news we might hear, there's a bit of rumour that we might hear about who the new sponsor is shortly. I think that was actually meant to be last week, but it might be the week ahead. There's obviously a few rumours. I think you mentioned it on the preview podcast as well. There was also a shirt that was getting mocked up and rumoured, but I don't think it's real.
Not
I
another
think
strip,
I
surely
think
not.
no, as in I think it's somebody's created one that has the McEwan Fraser sponsor on it. I assume it's AI generated rather than
Right.
real.
Okay.
But yeah, there was that doing the rounds yesterday.
Yeah, you would imagine you'll start seeing. Well, the new strip will be certainly out, you would think, or certainly you'll get a look at it in the next week. Well, you would think, but again, you'll wait and see. Like you say, because of the change in sponsor, it'll help held things up ever so slightly. So, yeah, that's what's going on. Yeah, let us give us your thoughts on the season ticket prices. The one thing I would say, you know, it's and I think it's got to be credited in the sponsor on the right, so the under 12s go free thing. Like you look around the stadium sometimes and Like, there's lots of empty seats, and whether that's under 12s, because you know what it's like when you've got an under 12, sometimes they'll not want to go to the game, or they'll have a party on, or something like that. I would say that, you know, and this is, I mean, families are struggling, and what have you, but even if you had, like, just that a fiver a game for under 12s, or what have you. You know, something like that, just as a token gesture, so people aren't just going, oh, it's something I'll get for free, so I'll stick in for it, and I might use it, or I might not use it. I'll wait and see. Do you know what I mean? I do think, you know, there could be a bit of that. I mean, fair enough, if the sponsors kind of underwrites that's fine. But I do think, you know, and it's not to a lot to ask for if you say, like, it's a fiver. It just might mean that people who are just a bit, like, just take it for the sake of it, if you know what I mean.
No, and I think the request by the club for people to upload a passport or birth certificate now for kids to get the free ticket is something. It's an extra layer of like if someone, I don't want to say someone's made up a child just to have an extra seat, but if someone is using it that's not under 12, and let's face it, there could be scenarios where that's the case as well, then hopefully that ID part is a deterrent. The other thing I think could be better, John, I've said this to the people at the club before. Is granted, we have a system in place where you can return your ticket, right? I don't think it's the easiest of things, as in, I don't, it's just an email, right? So that's neither here nor there. But you have to do that by like a Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Sometimes you don't know if you can go, or sometimes things happen on a Thursday, Friday, or indeed a Saturday morning. The other thing is, see it, there's no incentive. So, to do it either. So say you gave up your ticket. Say I was on holiday and I couldn't go, and I've checked with the guys, no one needs an extra ticket, and I want to give it back to the club. I can do that, right? For absolutely fine. But for a lot of people, they maybe feel it's less hassle just not to do anything with it.
Fair
Whereas
point.
if there was a small incentive, and I don't know what that looks like I don't know, £2 off your next season ticket, or a shop voucher, or whatever the
Or
case
go
may
to a
be.
draw, you go to a
Or
draw
a
for like
draw,
a
absolutely, for a
shirt or
shop.
something like
Aye,
that. A signed shirt. There's no
absolutely.
cost into the club, do you know what I mean?
So I totally agree with that. So anything like that at all, I think if they incentivized it a little bit better,
Yeah, that's a fair
then that would
point.
help. I
That's a
think that would
fair
help.
point, that, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Lots of good ideas there. Good brainstorming, Ross. Good
Indeed.
brainstorming. Right. There'll be reasons these things don't happen, but, you
Probably.
know, we'll solve the world right here, right now on this podcast. Listen, yeah, got to say thanks to our sponsor, Behind the Wall. We're going to be in there on Friday night for Falkirk Daft Live. John McGlynn, Paul Smith, Jim Jeffries, Billy Brown will be joining us on the night if you've got a ticket. If there are any that come across, let us know. If you can't make it anymore, I'm sure you'll get a taker for it, and we can pop it up on our socials because the time for refunds has stopped, Ross. So if you're looking for a refund, my microphone's just falling off there. If you are looking for a refund, that's now stopped. But if you can't make it, I'm sure there'll be plenty of takers. Drop us a DM. We can set you up on our social media as well. And talking of our social media, at the moment, we've got our Player of the Year and Goal of the Season. They will be awarded on the night at Behind the Wall. At the moment, Leon McCann is in the lead for Player of the Year, which is really nice to see. And our goals, we had Connor versus Dundee, we had Kyrells versus Celtic, Barnes versus Second versus Hibs, and Finn versus St Mirren. Connor looks like he's running away with that at the moment, 56% of the vote. And as for the player at the moment, Leon McCann is just ahead of Calvin Miller, 37 to 33, Lisa third and 25, and Hendo on 5%. So get voting, head to our X channel, and get voting on your Falkirk Daft Player of the Season and Falkirk Daft Goal of the Season. And there you go. That's happening Behind the Wall Friday night. And of course, there you can get the Falkirk Daft Venom. If you want the Sapphire Venom, you go to the Scotia. But if you want the Falkirk Daft Venom, you go to Behind the Wall. It's a bit off menu now, but you'll see it advertised.
I'm not happy about that.
What's that?
I'm not happy about that.
Oh, no, I think it's quite cool. It's quite a cool thing. It's almost like a secret club. So if you are, you know, a Falkirk Daft listener, you can it's almost like, you know, have you heard of the off menu stuff at McDonald's that you can ask for?
No, I've not
There's
seen that.
secret codes and stuff that you can ask for at McDonald's, and I quite like that. So Falkirk Daft Venom is available at Behind the Wall. It's still on sale, and you can get it when you're enjoying Falkirk Daft Live on Friday night. Other things going on there: Barbara Bryson's daytime dancing on Sunday, the 7th of June. And Scotland World Cup games are all going to be shown at Behind the Wall, and you'll get £5 a ticket. You need to order that, and you're going to get your first pint with that as well. And we've actually got a competition. Keep your eyes out on our socials for this competition. We are going to give you a VIP seat for two, for each game, which will include a Falkirk Daft Venom, a pizza, and a £50 bar tab. There you go.
All right.
Not too bad. You can buy your tickets online, and or call and book your table by quoting Falkirk Daft. So if you're calling up to get that deal, quote Falkirk Daft and you'll get in the draw for the bar tab, the Venom, and the individual pizza for each game. So get booked up for any of the Scotland games. Just phone up, or you can buy a ticket. We'll stick the link on our socials for that as well. But you'll get in the draw if you quote Falkirk Daft. So there you go. And you'll get a bar tab, a Falkirk Daft Venom, and a pizza each. That's good. Pretty decent for two.
That's pretty decent, very decent.
Aye. So get quote Falkirk Daft when you, if you want to book up for... If you've not got any plans for the Scotland World Cup, I don't have any plans yet. I'm working out. Might have to do stuff with work. But aye, you can get sorted at Behind the Wall for the World Cup stuff. The links will go on, but just quote Falkirk Daft if you're booking up for that. And everything else, head to behindthewall.co.uk. Right, okay, let's talk about the game now. And it, of course, was Hibs 3, Falkirk 1. Hendo was back on the bench. It was good to see Hendo. Spoke to him at the recognition night, and he said he was up running, so it was great to see him back on the bench. Kyle Wilson came in for Ben Brosio, which is surprising because I thought it was a week too late. But and we'll talk about Ben Brosio's performance when he came off the bench in a bit. But Kyle was in for Ben, and Keelan Adams nowhere to be seen. Not we hadn't heard anything about a Keelan Adams injury, Ross, had we?
No, we didn't. Apparently he was there, so he obviously could be injured. For all we know, it would be odd for him to not be injured and just straight out of the squad. So fingers crossed he's okay, because we are a little light on fullbacks as it stands. So I was a little surprised that Liam Henderson wasn't back into the starting lineup, to be honest. Obviously Wednesday against Hearts, Lewis Nielsen can't play because it's a against his parent club, so I was a little bit disappointed that Hendo wasn't on, and I thought we did a lot better when he did come on as well.
Yeah, oh no, definitely. I mean, as I said before, it was a strange game, a strange old game, and it was like the air was sucked out of the game. Hibs got it spot on, to be fair, in that first couple of minutes, you know.
They put balls in the box,
and, you know, we gave away a corner, which I don't necessarily we had to give away. Connor Allen had the chance to probably make a challenge on the side and get shot of the ball initially, and then Lewis Nielsen tapped it behind where he could maybe have just launched it out for a throw-in. But that's not to say, you know, we shouldn't be defending that corner better. It was a disgraceful bit of defence. Again, back to my big bugbear of zonal marking. Josh Campbell just gets, watching it back, he just runs in. Not one challenge, and he's got a header. You know, me and Wilson could maybe have done better. But even if that, Martin Boyle's sitting at the back post with one up next to him.
It was shocking, and I really don't understand what they were doing. Hibs have obviously looked at how we defend corners, and they've put people in the right place to exploit it. Only ourselves to blame with that first goal, really. And it was, when you watch it back, it's even worse than when you saw it live, because at least live you thought, oh, he's just a well-timed run.
I mean, I was barking and shouting at Lewis Nielsen. I was like, that's all on Nielsen, that. But then I look back at it and I was like, I don't know what Nielsen's, you know, the guy's got a spare free run. He's got a free run on Nielsen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was just, again, zonal market. Maybe we'll stop the interview. I'm going to ask, if I asked John on Friday, John, what's the crack with zonal marking? Go and explain it to me.
The thing is, though, it's a valid question, because, or you might not word it that way, but we should ask the question, why does he think we have lost so many goals from set pieces? this season. Now, I'm sure he'll have the stats as to how many we have. And I suppose we better fact check ourselves before then, as before we ask the question as
I'm
well.
not a, back to you not asking that question.
Oh no, I would ask the question because we, as, and I will need to fact check it, but we have lost a serious number of goals
I
from
know.
balls into the box this season. And it's not good enough because you won't win games if you don't defend properly. And as we will come on to talk about, you don't score if you don't shoot. And that was the other issue yesterday. And again, I'm too early, but Ben Brosio just did exactly that. But if you don't shoot, you don't score. And that was a huge issue for us yesterday.
Yeah. Aye, so that kind of took the 1-0 sails straight, and you know, obviously that's what Hibs, we did that to Hibs really in the first the last game at the stadium, and they did it to us, and the wind was just out the sails from then and in, you know, and we went on, we were playing okay, you know, Barney Stewart almost gets in the end of Lisa's ball in, and then Barney had another couple of chat, you know, there was a couple of other chances as well, but it was just. Like then Hibs get the second and again defending like it was you know it just Josh Campbell just again gets in between
It was a good ball in, right?
yeah.
However, again, when you watch it back, we had two defenders and Nicky, and you just think it's so close to the goal line, as was the first goal, if we're being really honest with ourselves as well. Like, I'm a little bit disappointed that whether it was Bain or Hogarth in goals, you're expecting a keeper to come out and deal with a ball into the box that's in the 6-yard box.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's Nicky or if it's the defending, because the defender was all but that second goal. I was like, how has he managed to get in between Nielsen and Allen and got a free header? It was a free header, and it was like.
Well, I agree. Listen, it's not pinned on one, but I think as a defensive unit, they've not worked well yesterday at all.
No, not at
They
all.
haven't. They
Not
haven't.
at all. And O'Hara again had a massive chance as well. Like
Yeah.
again, a free header. And it's just all these free headers coming. You know, do you could think if Liam Henderson started the match, I mean it's ifs, buts, maybes, you know. But like if Henderson started the match, I don't know if we're losing those goals. I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe we are. It's hard to do. It's hard to blame because Nielsen, like say, Nielsen Allen were excellent against Motherwell. Absolutely brilliant against Motherwell. But yeah, it was, you know. But then we find ourselves 2-0 down with like 20 minutes gone. I'm like, it,
And the
then
game
you're
was
just
done.
like, it's done, it's done, absolutely done. And then icing on the cake is, you know, we had a brilliant save from. By the way, credit to Nicky, brilliant save from the
Oh,
volley with one hand,
tremendous.
absolutely
Tremendous save.
tremendous from
Yeah.
Jordan Abita when he hit that on the volley.
It
Brilliant
was.
save with the one hand to get around the post. But then Abita, we don't learn from our mistakes. And again, just. Jordan Obita fires again, just a calamitous bit of defending again, and Obita's just there on his own to hit it into the
Yeah,
basket.
he had loads of time,
Loads of
and
time.
difficult one for Nicky because it went right through his legs, which is as they say, the worst,
Yeah.
the hardest place to try and stop the ball. But there was two defenders in front of him, so again, as a collective, it's just not worked, and it might not have been like losing three goals in the first half, sore, right? But we had chances. Like it could quite have easily, had we been a bit more clinical, it could have been 3-3 at half time. And
Yeah.
potentially could have been and should have been.
Yeah. And obviously Leon McCann goes off injured as well in that
Yeah.
first half as well. That could be Leon's season done potentially
Well, he
as
was when he suggested it's his hammy, I think was the was what it looked like. So I suppose we'll just need to see. I see he did make it up the town
He
for
didn't make
the
he said he
third
made it up
time.
the town, so if he was that badly injured, he might not
May
have
have went
made it.
straight home. But
Yeah.
yeah, but that's good. That's maybe a positive. So maybe
Yeah.
he's not as bad as
And then
we're hoping.
obviously in the second half as well, Lisa, you know, who was switched over onto that left hand side when Leon went on, and Connor was switched to right back. I actually thought Connor was really decent at right back, to be honest with you. I thought he was better there.
Unreal.
I think he was had a bit of he wasn't having a great game at centre half,
No.
certainly with those goals. But I thought he did all right at right back when he moved over.
He did really well, not just defensively, but like getting forward as well. And he linked up pretty well with the attackers. It's more probably more so in this obviously in that second half when he had to move over. But yeah, no, he did. He thought he did all right. Did all right when he moved.
Obviously I'd have made changes. I thought we should have made changes at half time, because the changes that we made a difference. But I do think those changes might have come at half time. Finn, again, just as much as he gives you all that industry and stuff like that, if you've got to go and attack the game, you've got to sacrifice, a pawn at some point. So, I would have bought on Brogio in that 10 role. I've been crying out for giving Ben a shot in the 10. And I mean, he came on like in the 59th minute, him and Parkinson, obviously, for Kyrell and Finn. And it made a massive impact, Ben, when he came on, obviously.
No, he did, and yeah, as you said, he probably could have and should have been on a lot earlier. It's a real tough one because I think, see with the injuries we've had as well. Like I do feel sorry for John and Paul because you've obviously got like Louis Marsh who's injured, you've got Ethan Williams who's injured as
Oh,
well.
Louis Marsh was in the stand yesterday, actually. He must have come back up.
Yeah, I saw that. He left his stuff, I think, and apparently Sean Mackey said his cheerios midweek as well,
Oh,
to the players. But so yeah, I think it's tough when you've not got huge options off the bench. But I agree. I think we could have and should have made changes that little bit earlier, because Ben did have a good and positive impact when he came on.
he certainly did. Again, Ethan Ross had a positive comeback. He just nods wide as well a bit later on. But before we go on to that, Ben Strike, great goal. Just again, just goes to see what happens when you shoot. It's amazing. You can score goals from it.
You don't shoot, you don't score.
Yeah.
And he did exactly that. It was a tremendous good build up. And it's obviously it wasn't a one man show. Calvin Miller did well in the build up with it. Good inside pass to him. But he's just looked up and thought, you know what? Sod it. I'm just gonna have a go. And if we had done that a little bit more, you never know what could have happened because we did have four or five sort of really good half chances yesterday. Some were just missed, some we didn't pull the trigger quick enough or early enough.
I don't think we were getting enough, like utilising Barney enough yesterday. I don't know
No.
why, but we seem to be putting balls into the wingers, like high balls up into the wingers to Calvin and Kyrell, and like when we should be going down the middle for Barney. Now I get and we're not getting enough service into him either. You look back at the game. I was putting together the goal of the season compilation there just now. I was like, you look at that Hibs game and utilising Barney to his strengths, getting down the sides and getting balls into the middle. Whether
Yeah.
Hibs tactically suppressed that and played against that, but I don't think we're utilising the big man. I think he in the last few games we haven't utilised him enough. Against Motherwell, he was just unlucky. But like, just feed the goal and.
One thing yesterday was Calvin Miller, whenever he got the ball, he had four or five players, honestly,
He
just
was.
so quickly on him.
Yeah, he didn't have a
Hibs did
great
their
game.
homework. Hibs did their homework.
In fairness, and fair play to them, they certainly did. It was just a really strange. If you look at possession statistics, like we had obviously most of the possession, but like Hibs had more chances than us.
Yeah.
And they scored from just about every chance they had, almost apart from that save that Nicky's had to make in the O'Hara one, which he's put past the post when he really should have scored. But yeah, it was a strange old game. It was a strange old game, but we just didn't affect the game much. And we'll come out and go, oh well, we won the second half and what have you. But when you're 3-0 down, it's like the opposition stand off anyway, saying what.
Since the split. Or really the Rangers, second half of the Rangers onwards, right? We've really just not got to the standard or the levels that we had been performing at. I don't know why. Has getting to the top six, is there a mentality issue there that we think the job is done
I wouldn't
and
think
we
so. You wouldn't think John would allow that either, because like it
no.
was there for us to go fifth yesterday. Fifth, and the
It
chances came.
didn't feel or look like it from
Nah,
kickoff though.
It didn't feel like it really didn't. I don't know what was up yesterday. Like, have we just run out of steam? I don't know. I don't know. It just like we were devoid of a bit of ideas, and maybe it is just we're needing to rest players. So you go into that Hearts game Wednesday night and go, right, well, let's give Henry a shot in midfield. You know, let's start Ethan Ross on the wing on the right, or let's put Ben Brosio onto the 10, and you know, just try out a few different things. You know, we're obviously going to be struggling for left backs. Sam Hart, like, he's going to have to come out of the cold, I think. Like, I do, you know, it wasn't, he's not been seen in weeks and weeks, Sam. And I can't remember the last time he came off the bench. It must have been some time ago, that Sam
Well,
came.
you've also got potentially Finn Yeats, can play fullback as well,
A
right back
left back,
anyway.
though.
No, not left back, can play right back. Hendo can play left back, has done
So
previously, I
then do you
suppose.
put Hendo at left back if you're worried about bringing Sam out of the cold? Do you put Hendo at left back, Donaldson in the middle with Neilson, or sorry, Conor Allan, because Neilson can't play, so it'll be Donaldson and Conor in the middle, and then right back Keelan Adams presumably.
Thing is, we call, if he's playing, it means he's already on the middle of the pitch when the pitch invasion happens.
I was speaking to him about that. It was an interesting conversation we called the other night there. You know, he's a professional footballer, like, as much
No,
as,
no. I do say in jest because he is all for Falkirk, and you
oh,
get that from
absolutely.
him. He's said it himself. I can't remember where I heard him say it. It could have been. Yeah, can't think where I heard him talking about it, but he did say he would be doing everything he could for Falkirk, regardless of the heart situation. So.
Of course he would. It's going to be interesting to see who's available. Scott Bain should be back for next week against Rangers, so I suspect he will get back into side because he'll be wanting to just put on one last show for Steve Clarke, I guess, ahead of the World Cup. John will probably give him that chance to do that, as there's really nothing else too much to put to play for, I
I
suspect.
would make changes. Obviously, we're going to have some enforced ones. I'd
I'd
love to
like to see young
see
Kai Brown get a wee, you know,
on. Yep.
if it, we are playing for nothing, put Kai on the bench and bring him off and
Yeah.
give him a run, give him a
That's
run.
my thoughts as well. That's exactly what I was going to suggest as well. Kai would be fantastic to have get some minutes both games, to be fair. There's no reason why he couldn't come on. And I tell you one thing, on Wednesday night, he's not going to have a better atmosphere than probably what would be at happening at Tynecastle on Wednesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about the Hearts game. We're going to do that. We're going to try and preview. We're hoping to catch up with you and Cameron just in a bit to talk about the Hearts game. Just ahead of that, though, like, looking at that side that, you know, that started, what, like, if we're going to have two and four, at this point, it looks like we're going to have two enforced changes with Leon and Lisa. So it's going to be a makeshift back four if there ever was one. Come Wednesday. Do you make changes up there? I thought Kyrell did all right yesterday. Again, it's just that frustrating bit with Kyrell, is the final ball that he
He's
still
not a
gets.
starter for me.
Not a
He's not a
starter.
starter.
No.
No, I think but then I think Ben is probably wasted it in the wing. I'd rather have him in
The middle.
the middle. I think that's where he's best, but we're so lacking of options because of these injuries. If probably I think Ben will start against Hearts, but it'll probably be on the wing. I don't see him playing in the hole. I know I said this on our group chat. I think I would probably have our sort of regular starting 11 probably more so against Rangers, because I think well I don't want to say we've got more chance of winning that game because it's two difficult games, but Saturday is the definition of an end of season kickabout for both teams now. Rangers have nothing. They can't go up, they can't go down, they can't win anything. They will be in third place. So I expect them to have kids, some of the younger players playing probably Wednesday and Saturday as well. So yeah, I'd make changes, but I think we have more of a chance of getting points on Saturday than probably Wednesday night.
I
But
think we're
you
due.
never know. You
You
never know.
never know. I would say we're probably due, you know, that way. We're due to beat Rangers, I think, just because we've run them close this season. Like, obviously the 6-3 game is just like what a mental game. But I just feel we're due, and after all the shit that's happened between,
Yeah.
since that, and all you go on social media and the Rangers fans having a go at Jamie and everything that's happened in and around that as well, and all the hassle from the last game as well. You think, I'd love to beat them. I'd love to beat them.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
absolutely love to beat
Absolutely.
them. So we'll wait and see what happens on Saturday, and then we've got that massive game Wednesday. Who knows what will happen? Will we be on the pitch when Hearts win the league? It's going to be a tough match. It's going to be a tough ask for Falkirk to go there in the state that we're in, to try and get a win there. Well, obviously, we'll talk about that in just a bit with Ewan, hopefully. But before we do all that, let's see what John McGowan had to say after the match yesterday. I hope it's John McGowan, because I haven't even checked yet. Post episode, it is.
Hey, oh yeah, there is one. Well done. I hadn't even seen one.
Falkirk TV is proudly sponsored by GM Landscape UK.
John, not the result you were looking for today. How would you sum up the game?
I thought it was clinical, very clinical. I mean, I've had four shots on target and scored three goals. Poor start from us. I don't think we deal with the ball well in midfield. It leads to a corner kick, and we just don't defend the corner kick. I mean, Hibs are a big side, a big strong physical side. They showed that element at their play today. But we've got to defend the ball, and simple as that. It was a bang average ball in the box. It was not whipped along. It was just set up, and we stand about. We don't go and we're not aggressive on it at all. And so 2 minutes into the game, you've given Hibs all the encouragement that they need, and you've given them a base to go on from. I thought after that, I thought our reaction was really good with regards to the way we played. We passed the ball well, we got down the sides. We got enough balls in the box, whether they were good enough, or we didn't get anyone on the end of them. That's the thing, we didn't get anyone on the end of the crosses that we put in the box. So for all the good play, it didn't materialise into shots on goal. It's something that we don't do enough of. And although I'm skipping, young Benny showed exactly how it should be done. The goal we get is fairly straightforward, very simple. And why we're not doing that more often is beyond me. So going back, we're a threat, we're in the game, we're creating opportunities. And we concede a second goal, just a ball to a channel. Martin Boyle goes after it, turns, puts the ball in the box, and we're kind of like got caught with the ball over the top of us, and Campbell managed to head it in the goal. So purely defended again, and throwing in our kind of left back area for Hibs. Again, it's untidy. Get down the line, crushing again. Well, allow the cross to come in, it kind of breaks to the back area, and they've got a spare player who, drives the ball into the goal through Nicky's leg. So, yeah, not the ideal position to be in, as much as I feel, which is difficult because the game's about scoring goals. And I thought we hadn't played badly, we had defended badly. We defended badly, make no mistake about that, and that was the difference. Hibs defended well, we defended badly. There's only one winner. Second half, of course, Hibs are 3-0 up. They don't need to throw any caution to the wind. Quite happy to sit back in, allow us to go and try and get round them and deny space in behind. And because we're difficult, we did get a really good goal back. And if we could have got one back fairly soon after that, then it might have been game on. But it didn't quite happen. We did get some decent balls in, and there was a couple of headers, like Ethan Ross had one, shooting that one. A couple of good opportunities that we didn't quite take, that Hibs did take. And that was the difference.
There you go. John summing up the match as ever. Not much you can disagree with there. I mean, just tells it how it is, doesn't he?
No, listen, he's said pretty much what we've talked about tonight. Today we've didn't defend well, and we didn't score. So, and he praised Ben Brosio for getting a goal and doing what he asked them to go in and do. A substitute, I didn't hear who got man of the match yesterday, but Ben Brosio probably probably done enough in his time to take it, to be honest.
We'll get to Falkirk Daff rated just in a minute. Like, looking at the bench, I mean, they brought on Parkinson. Parkinson is not, you know, really done much. I don't know if he had much to operate off of. I just wonder why we're not, and I'm guessing we're not using Brian Graham, because there'll be a game there that will trigger an extension of his contract, because he's been sitting on the bench not getting used there. Where games like that, for me, it's like, get the experience on, get Brian on, get him, like, knocking people about and just using the experience. But we tend to have been using Parkinson a lot more. Ross McKeever as well, sitting on the bench and not getting a sniff either.
No, and that's what I mean about sort of, here's the thing. See if Brian Graham is not going to play due to a contractual reason, John. Mm-hmm. Why is he on the bench?
That's a good question.
Like, you mentioned Sam Hart, right? I assume Sam Hart's not injured, right? So if Sam Hart is available for defensive cover, why isn't he on the bench?
Yeah, because we had three strikers on the bench yesterday.
Uh-huh. And let's face it, only one of them was likely to come on.
Yeah.
So it's quite frustrating in that. And I know we're hampered by injuries. We really are. But that, to me, feels like we're just... If that's the situation, there's no point in Brian even being on the bench if he's not going to get on. Like, what is the point?
You know, I mean, we talked, if that is the case, and then we don't know if that is the case or not, but if it is the case, like, you know, would you want, I personally would like to keep Brian Graham for next year.
So would I.
Just because I think he's a great, you know, he's got experience in something that, I looked around that side that finished the match, by the way, and Brad Spencer's the oldest player on that. Like, you look around that side that finished the match, go, Jesus Christ.
It's a
very, very young Falkirk side.
Take Brad out, the average age must have been 23, 24 maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right across the whole team.
Do you think yesterday showed where we are lacking for next season?
Yeah, I think, 100, great shout, 100% it showed where we're lacking. We lack, I think, experience and leadership on the park when the going gets tough. I think we lack that, and I think it's something we've lacked for ages, that Rottweiler in midfield.
I think Rottweiler, probably someone in the 10, fullback, as in specifically probably right back.
Well, we're going to need that if Phil's going.
Yeah, we're going to need that. And yeah, so there's three or four key spaces we probably need an upgrade.
I mean, the core of the side's there. You know, when you've got Bain, you've got Hendo, you've got Spencer, you've got to have Sybil there as well next season, and you've got Barney. The core of the sides here, and you've got obviously Ross and Parky on the bench as well. So you've got a core of the sides here. It's like, and Calvin as well, of course, he's on for another year as well. Maybe a right winger. You're going to need a right winger. Whether that is a Kyrell, he's out of contract at the end of the season. You know, Henry Cartwright's out of contract at the end of the season. Do we give him? There's a lot of questions to be asked in the summer, and you know, there is a bit of a squad rebuild to do when you look at the likes of Gary Oliver wasn't on the bench yesterday either. You know, Gary's, you know, be interested to see what happens. I think Gary's out of contract at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think so.
So I can't see that. If you're saying that Sean's said his goodbyes, there you go.
Apparently, that's what I was told.
There's
to
Sean. You've got Alfie in another year. Tom's on another year. Aidan Nesbitt's got another year. Like, the Invincible squad is pretty much... it'll be broken up this summer, and I don't know where, like you mentioned, the last three, like Alfie, Aidan, and Nesbitt, and Tom.
I don't see these boys playing for Falkirk in the Premiership.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll wait and see. It could be a big job in the summer. You know, do we go into the loan market? I know the Herald reported that he's going to maybe look into kind of the European market. But I think the transfer policy, it's been good. So, I mean, we've finished in the top six, you know, using the young, utilising the kind of market down south and bringing in the loan players has made a big difference when you look at, obviously, Phil and Kyle and Henry and, you know, Louis Marsh was good, you know, Ben's been good, you know, and Ethan, we didn't really get to see the best of Ethan Williams.
No, we didn't, but injuries have been so bad this year. Is part of it pitch related? I'm no longer sticking up for I don't use it as a thing saying, oh, we should be able to play on what we want. The pitch looks shite and it's playing shite, and the players, from what you hear, don't want to play in it either. So the sooner we can get a proper grasp.
How can it be shit? Like, there's an improvement on the last pitch we had. So I don't understand
why. I don't think it is, though. I don't think it is. I think there's, and I won't name the person I spoke to, but they've said it's not performing as it should.
Right.
So they're not happy with the pitch. The pitch company are saying it's fine. It looks bad. It's playing bad. I'm not sitting saying all the injuries are because of the pitch. Obviously,
no,
that's
not the case. No,
however, because like if you look at St Mirren's had a lot of injuries and they play on grass, right? So, it might not help. Like if you look at Lissa's yesterday as a prime example, that was
nothing to do with the pitch, mate.
It looked like his foot got stuck in the whatever. That looked a real bad one, and that looked. For me, that looked pitch-related rather than the way he was running. But listen, for me, the sooner we can get and I know it's going to be another season, but the sooner we can get a proper grass pitch down, the better.
Yeah, but look at the cost that's going to cost. You know, you put a ground grass pitch, you immediately take out your playing budget. You know,
they're trying not to, but
how are they going to do that? How are you going to, the only way you're going to do that is selling a key asset like Barney, like a Hendo, or like a Miller.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think we've got
Grossers, of course it is. Of course it
well,
is.
Well, no, if you want the
simple maths and simple balance sheets will tell you that if you want to weigh down a cost of a pitch, and now not only the cost of the pitch, it's then the cost of training facilities.
But they've included all of that in the 1.5 though. But they've already explained they've already got 1.1 million of the 1.5 needed. So they're 400 grand short.
Well, where's that come from?
So like, they've taken advance of
right,
it was in the I can't remember where I read it, but it was maybe in the board update. But they're taking advance of
prize money, yeah.
I don't even think it's prize money. I think it's the basic stuff you get anyway.
Right.
But they're 400 grand shy. So I, you're right. Listen, a player sale would probably cover it, but they're obviously looking at other, such as the pitch fund, to try and cut into that. But we should have a grass pitch, John. I'm not a mourner who says the football needs played on grass, right? But at the end of the day, the rules came in, and we just need to go with it. And
I think it's bad. Personally, we could talk about this all day and debate this all day because I think it's a nonsense.
I also think
it's actually, you'll be that traditionalist way as well. We need to play in grass pitches.
No, I'm not saying that.
I've trained and worked on grass artificial pitches for years.
We'll be training, absolutely. No,
a professional can't play in an artificial pitch.
John, they can and they do, right? All these clubs have got artificial pitches, right?
They don't train on them. Like,
they do.
They train on them.
Probably not all the time, but they do, right? But the situation is the ruling, rightly or wrongly, has been made, and this pitch isn't great. If it was a higher quality pitch, I'd probably be a bit more.
But is it not the top of the range pitch? This is what I don't understand.
And it's not performing as it should.
But how I don't understand, how is it not performing as it should?
How does it a difference
between laying this down for a Champions League team, so let's say Bodeglimt or something like that, who play off that, how is that any different? How can that be? The same bit of turf that they use is any different from what we use?
No, it's not. It's not, but for whatever reason, this pitch, you can't say it doesn't look horrendous because it looks worse now than our last one did after about 7 years. And it's only been down to, but from what you hear of the players that are playing on it, it's just not as, they feel that it's not as good.
Well, I will ask around the players when I see them next.
Absolutely. Listen, you've got at least one who comes into your studio, so ask the question, but that's the chat.
Right, okay. Right, we'll find out about that. Listen, we'll get to your comments on the game in a minute, but let's speak to a man who loves plastic pitches so much. We'll get his opinion on that. And now it's Ewan Cameron, who's on to preview the Hearts game.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you feeling? We're just recording this right after Rangers have been beaten by Celtic. How are the nerves?
They've been the same for the last, since January, if I'm being honest with you. Every week has been really nervous, so nothing's really changed in that sense. And I suppose everybody kind of guessed it might go to the last game of the season. And it has. That's it. No matter what happens. Well, if Motherwell were to beat Celtic, which I think is highly unlikely, and Hearts were to beat Falkirk, then Hearts would win the league on Wednesday night. But I just can't see Celtic losing to Motherwell. I think it's going to the final day of the season.
If it's a draw, I've not looked to the match yet. If it's a draw at Fir Park and Hearts were to win,
it's 3 points in it.
It's 3 points in it. It still just goes to the goal difference.
And it goes to the last game of the season. So the only way for Hearts to win the league on Wednesday is for Motherwell to beat Celtic, but I just can't see that happening.
Yeah,
personally, I just can't. I think Celtic, after that win today, they are on a huge high, a massive high. So, yeah, I think the momentum is with them. Although Hearts have done great in getting 7 points in the first three games in the split fixtures, it's in Celtic's hands now because they've got that game at home on the final day of the season, which will be huge. We just have to hope that Motherwell do something on Wednesday night.
And of course, you've got to get past the mighty Bairns, mate. You've got to take care of your own problems, and that'll be try to beat us on Wednesday night. Though I have heard that John McGlynn might be in goals for that game.
Listen, I think Falkirk have had an unbelievable season. I thought they might be best of the rest in the bottom six. That was my prediction at the start of the campaign, and flirting with the idea of getting into the top six. So to get into the top six is an unbelievable achievement. I think the team have been outstanding this campaign. But I think you've got one eye on your holidays now. I think that's the feeling I get from Falkirk at the moment when you lose to Rangers the way you do. That defeat to Hibs yesterday as well. I just think you've got one eye on your holidays. You've done what you set out to achieve. It's been a great season for Falkirk, and I think Hearts win comfortably on Wednesday night. I really do.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you and we were obviously talking about the start of the podcast, as well as the game from yesterday. We were talking about what Falkirk maybe have to do on Wednesday, because we do have some injuries. We've got a lot of injuries, actually. So I think it'll be quite a reshuffled Falkirk team come Wednesday night. The momentum, obviously, is that Hearts need to win the game. And will that be too much? Will that be enough? As someone who, you know me, I'm an optimistic guy. If we're playing Real Madrid, I'd probably still put Falkirk 1-0 to win, right? However, the momentum that I think will be there on Wednesday night in the home direction will be pretty huge. I watched the game they had last Monday against Rangers, and Tynecastle looked phenomenal. I'd imagine Wednesday will be similar. But listen, it's... Who knows?
Sometimes the most dangerous team to play is a team that's got nothing to play for.
Yeah.
And there's players that might get a run out on Wednesday night that want to put themselves in a shot window, possibly for a move, or to catch the eye of the manager, John McGlynn, for next season, or they might be playing for a new contract. So those sorts of games can be dangerous. Falkirk, again, we've had so many tough games against Falkirk this season. And they could have gone either way, let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
But Hearts' home record is phenomenal. We've got such a brilliant home record. And I do think that we'll have too much for Falkirk on the night, Wednesday night, under the floodlights. We need an early goal to put the pressure on Celtic at Fir Park. If we can get a goal early doors, and then that obviously bleeds through to Fir Park, that Hearts are in front and are going to be stretching the lead at the top of the table, as it stands at that moment, then I think it's going to be Hearts going all out for an early goal to try and put that game to bed as early as possible. Because the longer it stays 0-0, the more agitated the Hearts fans are going to get. And not only that, if news comes through that Celtic have taken the lead when Hearts are struggling against Falkirk, that heaps even more pressure on Hearts. So I think it's going to be a nervy night for both Hearts and for Celtic, with Falkirk with very little to play for. That for me, that's a dangerous animal, but I just think Hearts will have too much for them.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, like I was going to say, let's go the other way, because it will get nervy if Falkirk can somehow hold on against Hearts. However, my worry slightly for Wednesday is if you do get an early goal, you start to look to affect that goal difference, because you've got to go then to Celtic Park and make a real dent, because at the moment, they got two extra against Rangers today. So if it is going to that, you know, suddenly they're only having to score two as opposed to three.
Yes.
So, in fact, is it now one? No, it's two they'd have to score against you, I think, at the moment.
Two. It'd be two. It was three, but it's now two.
It is now two. So, yeah, and then you have to go, like, and then that was all sorts of nerves then as well if yous are both to win. So my worry is that you will suddenly, if you get an early go, it could be a pumping.
Yes, and listen, Hearts will go for the goals because if Motherwell and Celtic draw and Hearts win, then Celtic need to beat us to try and catch us to win the league on goal difference.
Yeah.
So the more goals that we can score, the better. Listen, I wouldn't rule out Motherwell getting a draw, but I just think Celtic, with what they've got on the line here, and the momentum they've got, the players in that squad that have been there and done it and got the T-shirt, I just fear that if they do beat Motherwell on Wednesday night, then that is going to be a really tough game for Hearts at Celtic Park next Saturday. And I did think that Falkirk would have a big say in where the league title goes, and they haven't yet produced anything that's affected where this title could go. Could they do it on Wednesday night? You would never rule out because Falkirk and Hearts have had really difficult games this campaign. And I know that John McGlynn and the Falkirk team will feel as though they've been unlucky in a few of the games this season. And I think you have been unlucky in a couple of the games where you haven't deserved to lose it. I think there was that 1-0 game where we scored the goal. I think it's
That was
Chesnikov's.
probably, yeah, that was probably the closest one,
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were really good that day as well. I thought Falkirk were very good and deserved something from the game.
Apparently, John McGlynn was absolutely raging at, like, take it the 3-0 at the start of the season when you beat us at Tynecastle, but apparently the 1-0 game at Tynecastle, it was absolutely raging after the game. Remember where that was, the one where Barney came out absolutely shell-shocked, like he'd just been battered, and it was like in bits. But the one thing you would say is a couple of key injuries for Hearts there at the weekend. Ewan as well, Mark Leonard
Yeah,
and Craig Halkett.
huge,
How big a miss are they going to be?
huge, and I think both those players were knocking on the door for the World Cup squad as well. I think Mark Leonard's
Leonard's
been
been tracked by
outstanding. Oh,
Celtic, yeah.
yeah, Celtic and other clubs down south, and also in Germany is the latest rumours. He's only 24. You forget he's so
Yeah.
young, but I think he's been outstanding since he's come to Hearts in January. Unfortunately, there's no way we'll be able to afford him and make that permanent signing, and it's just really sad that both him and Halkett are going to miss the next two games. And Halkett's been an absolute rock at the back for Hearts, and he really was, for me, deserving of a place in that World Cup squad. And there's every chance he might have got there, but now that's completely ruled out because of the injury. So I feel desperately sorry for the boy. I think they're key injuries. Devlin playing 20 minutes last night was good to see. So he'll probably come in for the injured Leonard alongside Beningame and Blair Spittle. I think he'll probably go with this same sort of lineup. I think either McCart or Kent will come in to replace Halkett. I think he'll stick with the back three because I think it worked well for us last night against Motherwell. Motherwell only had one shot on target, and that was after 43 seconds. So we kept that potent Motherwell team pinned back. They didn't really create that many openings. So yeah, I think Falkirk are going to be in for a bit of a doing, if I'm being honest with you, especially if we can get an early goal.
We'll go to get Ewan's prediction just in a minute. Ross, what do you think the score's going to be? I mean, I have got the fear. I've generally got the fear with the injuries we picked up yesterday.
Yeah.
With neither Philip Lisa or Leon McCann, if Leon doesn't make it, I've got the total fear down, certainly down the full back areas.
Yeah.
Ross, what are you thinking?
Yeah. That is a tough one. And as I say, like I'm not the kind of guy who would normally talk about a defeat as a prediction, but I think Wednesday will be difficult. And probably for the first time on this podcast, I'm going to say a Hearts win. I think it'll be 2-0 Hearts.
I'm going to have to probably agree with you on that one. And you know, like you say, we don't predict that. I just think with our injuries, we've run out. The wind that our wind's
We
gone
look
from our
a
sails.
bit tired.
We
We look
don't care.
tired.
We look tired. Though, you know, like Ewan goes back, going back to Ewan's point, there is players out there with points to prove. We saw Ben Brosio coming off the bench yesterday. Spoke, caught up with Ben in hospitality yesterday, chatting to him. He came off the bench, made a big difference. He'll be looking to continue that, especially in such a high profile game. Kyrell Wilson could be another one like that. Henry Cartwright, we put these boys in. You know, Henry's got something to play for. Kyrell's got something to play for. Ben's got something to play for, along with, you know, the usual lot. Calvin Miller still trying to. Can he impress Steve Clarke just if he went out and played his game? Who knows? But there's boys to prove, but I do think, yeah, I go
To
with you.
caveat my prediction, though, what I would say is, and this is probably twofold. One, we've seen Falkirk get results where we shouldn't, over the years, right? Especially with this team. And the other thing, the other factor, and you mentioned it, is around the potential nervousness around Hearts in the stadium. If Falkirk can feed into that nervousness, and keep it a tight game for a long period, who knows where that result will go? Because I disagree with you and I wrote the other game. I think Celtic's, I know they beat them at Parkhead fairly comfortably, but I think they really struggled at Fir Park, and I wouldn't be shocked if Motherwell do take
I wouldn't be shocked with that. I
points
wouldn't
off
be
them.
shocked with that, which means, Ewan, that you could potentially win the league on Wednesday. Are you going to try and get along to the game?
So remember that Celtic game where we beat them 3-1 at Tynecastle?
Yeah.
So I was meant to be at that game, but I was so nervous ahead of it that I couldn't face going to the game and losing to Celtic and having that long, horrible journey home. And then because I didn't go to that game and we won, I've refused to go to any game since because I'm scared to jinx it. You know how now
Yeah.
I'm not wearing it just now, but I'm on my way to record the podcast. But the Hearts top that I've been wearing on the podcast every single week since we started the jersey, I haven't even washed it. It's
Oh
been
my
on my,
God.
I know, it's been on my back since August. So that's what I'm saying, Matt. It's all these, what's the word I'm looking for?
Superstition.
Superstition. So I'm staying away from Tynecastle. I'm continuing to wear the same Hearts jersey. I'm continuing to wear the same baseball cap, which I've worn since August as well. So yeah,
Jesus.
it's I've got all these superstitions going on right now. Look, Motherwell are very capable of getting a result against Celtic. I just have my doubts surrounding that possibility. Going back to the game on Wednesday night, my fear is that Celtic take an early lead when it's still 0-0 with Falkirk, and then the Hearts fans will let the Hearts players know what's going on at Fir Park. And then players do strange things. They start making mistakes, they start trying to rush it, they start panicking, and that's my fear. That's why I think we need to go. We need an early goal to settle everybody down. But my fear is if we go chasing it because it's 0-0 because Celtic are winning, Falkirk are very, very capable of catching us on the break. It's a dangerous game. But if we get the early goal, we win it comfortably. If we don't, then it's going to be a very, very nerve-wracking. I think it'd go one of two ways. Falkirk are not going to beat us. I don't see that happening. I think it's either going to be a very nervy night with a late, late winner, or we get an early goal and we beat you 3 or 4 nil.
Right, there you go. That's Ewan's prediction. Well, listen, Ewan, hopefully you can wash that Hearts top, because you must be absolutely stinking by this point. And there's only a week to go. There's
I
only a
know.
week to go.
It's straight in the wash on Saturday night.
Well, listen, Ewan, I hope you. I genuinely hope. I think every team out west of the Old Firm,
And
they want
Hibs.
you to do it. We want you to do it. We
And
do want
Hibs
you to win the league.
want to see Hearts win this league,
Of
but
course, we do.
I hope it's not at the expense of Falkirk getting pumped on Wednesday. Hopefully you can go
Aye.
to Celtic Park, batter them, hammer
Can
them, and win the league then. And what an exciting time.
I just point out though, even if Hearts weren't to win the league, we'd never know what's going to happen in the next two games. But today, it was confirmed that Hearts will be in the Champions League qualifiers, which is a
There you go, yeah.
phenomenal achievement in
Yeah.
itself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, enjoy it if you can, Ewan, the next two matches.
Cheers.
I'm sure your wife Teresa is loving life at the moment within
She
the
is.
Cameron household.
She is. Because she doesn't see me. I'm just hidden away in the bedroom, or I'm away recording podcasts or at football shows.
Well done, Teresa. Absolutely outstanding work then. Teresa will be delighted with that. Brilliant. All right, Ewan, take care. We'll speak to you
Cheers,
soon.
bud. See you,
Cheers,
lads.
bud.
Bye.
Cheers, mate.
And there you go, Ewan Cameron with his thoughts on the game ahead of Wednesday. Yeah, it's like, you know, I do think the longer we hold them, the nervier it'll get around Tynecastle. It's going to be really interesting to hear that atmosphere. You're not making it to the game, Ross, are you?
For the so
Wednesday.
hot, yeah, no,
Get
barely, but
on.
yeah, managed to get along. See one thing. I completely understand what you're saying, right? And I think Hearts, you and I are both on the same page. We would love Hearts to win the league, right? Someone different, and they've been top since what, August or September or something like that. You don't want it to be against your team. You don't,
No, of course not.
obviously, right? However, I think if we had to win, to say we had won yesterday and we needed to win to kind of sit clinch fifth or something like that, I would not probably be sitting here saying Hearts are more likely to win than we are. I just feel when one team has to win, it's a bit like Hamilton at Falkirk Stadium last May, right? They scored early, they upset the situation, but in the end, even though they scored early, you just knew Falkirk were going to win because we had to win. There was just that huge expectation, and you felt it in the air. I have a funny feeling that's even if we score early on or at all on Wednesday, and it's against the run of play or we score first or whatever the case may be, there will still be that huge feeling inside the stadium that they're so close. So that's probably where my head's at, with it.
We'll wait and see what happens on Wednesday. I'll be watching the game because I'm working late. So, but enjoy the game if you're heading along to that. I think we've sold out our allocation, haven't we?
The usual sort of six, what is it? They give us 650 or 700, something like
So
that. And
hopefully got.
it's live on Sky now, as they've
Yeah.
confirmed.
Live in Sky, so if you didn't get a ticket, I'm sure you can watch it on the telly. Let's go back to your comments regarding the Hibs game, though, and let's kick off with Wee Div. He says, "I was pleased to see Wilson get a deserved start, but I now know why McGuinn has preferred Brogio. Wilson's final delivery was absolutely murder. Really strange match. We've been saying that all the. Well, that's the fact. That's the episode title. Really strange match. Thought Tate and Miller were unusually poor. It was the defending that killed us, though."
Martin says Hibs scoring goals without even breaking a sweat. It wasn't a lack of effort, but defensively very, very soft. Brogio was fantastic and even won a few tackles. Strange game.
There's another one there. Danny Burns can't defend cross balls, can't take corners or deliver real quality into the box consistently. That's why we're six, which isn't the end of the world now, is it? But room for improvement next season. I would say that I was moaning about our corners. It's always that deep corner into the back post. Just whip it in, man. Whip it. We've got Barney Stewart, we've got Liam Henderson. Get the ball into a dangerous area, and who knows what will happen. But we tend to go this big ball into the back post and try and get a nod in back into the goals. We do it all the time, and teams have totally figured that out.
It's neither here nor there though. We're either too deep at the back post, or we can't get it past the front man, the first man.
I know.
It's brutal. Our crossing is so poor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brendan McRae, piss poor first half with room to drive a slow double-decker bus through the defence. Didn't actually think Hibs were all that great, but they took their chances well.
Genuinely didn't think they were great at all. Speaking to a
No.
Hibs supporter, right, after they said that, we're not very good.
No, I would agree. Much better second half and a nice goal, but too little, too late. The ref, shite, obviously, but can't hang much on that.
The ref was so pernickety yesterday. We didn't
Very.
even talk about the ref. So pernickety and so.
As was the fourth official,
Oh,
by the way.
stop the game, stop the game, stop the games. It was constant, man. Ryan Lee, by the way, who was the guy that sent off Hendo against Dundee United, that's who the referee was yesterday. And I think you had him against St Mirren as well. He's a terrible referee.
I've never seen Paul Smith and John McGlynn interact so madly with the fourth official on any game that I've ever seen. He was on at them constantly, for everything and anything. So yeah, absolutely brutal.
PGM, poor defensive performance proves we need to improve our defence in the postseason, and I don't mean signing Nielsen on a permanent deal. Again, I think both you can't. I'd like Louis Nielsen and or Conor Allan. We'll look at back at that game with much fondness yesterday. Again, Louis Nielsen, is it a one you would say? Do you sign him as a squad player? Has he done enough to merit a contract?
Not for me,
Not
but
for you.
I think he will. I think he will be a squad. Not saying he'll be a starter, but I think he'll be a squad player next season.
Interesting.
Ian Taylor says best signing we could make for next season would be a set piece coach for both the defence and the attack. That is a brilliant suggestion from
Well, not
Ian.
bad. Obviously, the boy at Rangers got in that guy, Scott Fry, who's made a big difference to them. But is Falkirk a team that we can afford to have a set piece coach? I'm not too sure about that. I don't know. Tam says, "Congratulations, Falkirk FC, on a fantastic maiden season back in the Premiership. Not our day to day, it happens. Let's make the most of the remaining games and see what has been an outstanding effort over the 25-26 campaign." Yes, hear, hear. And let's make sure that every single one of us, no matter what the result is against Rangers on Saturday, stay behind and applaud that team off the pitch because they've been magnificent all season. Doesn't matter if we get beat off Hearts, if we get beat off Rangers, make sure you stand behind on Saturday and applaud that team because what John McGlynn and that set of players have done on the park has been outstanding this season. We all came into this season thinking 10th is what we should aim for. To hit 6 is unbelievable. So yep. Make sure you all stand after the game and applaud every single one of those players that come off the pitch.
100%. 100% agree with you, John. And final comment is from our old pal, Stevie Beveridge. The best bit about the Falkirk game yesterday was actually watching Stenny beat Queens on penalties. He must have had it on his phone, I take it.
Oh, no, I must have done. No, it went to extra time. It went to extra time. And,
It went to extra time,
and then Stenny went 2-1 up in extra time, and then Queen of South equalised to make it 2-2. And then Reese Lyons and who missed the other penalty for Queen of South? It was like a player went, oh, dear. Oh, it was... I can't.
So Stenny Smear put up a picture of a banana on the... Donkey Kong and stuff, like a banana emoji on the penalty spot. So did someone slip when
Reece Lyons slipped when he took his penalty.
Right.
Reece Lyons.
That's
pure
power for Stenny Smear, isn't it?
Aye, so there you go. So Reece Lyons missed his penalty by slipping in that. So I have done Stenny. They're going on against Alloa, wee derby there. That'll be a tasty game, I suspect. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was quite tasty at Oakleview the last time, but the chance to get into the championship for Stenny. So good luck to them. Good luck to them. Falkirk Daft rated for yesterday. I know he only played half an hour, but I'm going for Ben Brosio.
Me too. Yep, 100%.
Yeah. I thought he affected the game so much when he came on.
Yep, even if he hadn't scored, I thought his work rate was brilliant. He was tackling, and I think someone else said it in their comments. He won 2 or 3 tackles, said he was doing really well with it. So, yep, Ben Brosio for me too.
Ben Brosio, yep, let's do it for it. Dafty.
Ref or the fourth official, to be honest. I thought the fourth official, it's probably because we sit very close to the dugouts, but the fourth official, I've never seen someone more pedantic in that role. And I've no idea who he is. Don't care, really, but he was just an absolute idiot.
I'm happy to go with that. Well, there you go. That is your Falkirk Daft review of Hibs. Before we head off into the sunset and tie a ribbon on this episode, though, let's say a big thanks to the Falkirk football fans in training. The T8s, they've got a new time slot, Wednesday 8 to 9.30 on the community pitch. Get along, there's 3 games available. Youngsters, late 20s to early 30s, the over 40s, 50s section, which is the academy section, and for the legends over that age, that's a slower base, more fun game. So get involved, get yourself along to the community pitches, 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. Speak to Doogie or Ian, they are below. Hamish White's dealing with the youngsters, and by youngsters, I mean 20s and late 20s, early 30s, if you classify that as a youngster. They're looking, basically, they're just, it's a laugh, it helps your fitness, it helps your mental health, and it's just a good bunch of lads that are there for a game of football. So if you fancy a kick about making new friends, head down to community pitches every Wednesday, 8 o'clock. Just go up. They're all, if you are slightly apprehensive about meeting new people, don't worry. There's such a really nice group of lads that they'll take you in with open arms, and you'll have new pals. Though, like, you've got to watch out for some of them, right enough. I'm not saying anything more than that. But aye, great bunch of lads. Contact the boys below if you fancy getting involved with Falkirk football fans and training and the T8s. Got a shout out to the women's team as well. They had their last home game today. It's
a 4 o'clock kickoff, I think, John.
4 o'clock kickoff. So we'll check how the women are.
Oh, they're winning 1-0 so far.
They're winning 1-0. There you go. Come on, there. They really need to win these last, I think it's the last 2 games to have a chance to get into the playoffs. So on the women, and they'll be part of the club for next season as well. Spoke to Josh and Stevie, the managers, at recognition night. And I said, we need to get you on the podcast to find out more about this, what's going on in the background. So they're going to join us, hopefully, before we might be able to get them on maybe next week. But I'd like to get them on before the end of the season or at the start next season. So we'll get the lowdown from the guys on that as well. That's it then for Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for watching, listening. Remember, merch is still available, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get that sorted out ahead of Falkirk Daft Live. We'll see you all in Behind the Wall this Friday. If you manage to get a ticket, look forward to it. As I say, Jim Jeffries, Billy Brown and the gaffer and Paul Smith are going to be there. So it should be a good laugh. If you don't subscribe, please subscribe. It helps us a lot. On Apple, Spotify, wherever you get the podcast, you'll find us there. If you watch us, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Also looking for sponsors next season. If you want to enjoy, you've got local business, fancy jumping on, please get in touch with us, john@folkertdaft.co.uk, or you can drop us a DM on socials. We'll get you on board as a sponsor for next season. Thanks to Carpetways, thanks to Pine the Wall, and thanks to the Falkirk football fans in training. Right, up the road, on to Tynecastle. We'll see how it goes. But like I say, no matter what happens, what a season. Hopefully we're back here talking about two major victories. We're back with the Rangers preview podcast on Thursday, but hopefully we'll be talking about two massive wins. Well, one massive win against Hearts. And then hopefully next Sunday back here talking about a big win against Rangers. But until that time, Ross Wayne.
John, if all of that transpired, it would definitely be expected and expected.
Definitely would be.
We're Folkerdaft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Folkerdaft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Folkerdaft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Folkerdaft, we're Folkerdaft. We are Folkerdaft.